New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All aboard!
We play. That's what we do. We don't talk, we play.
Heading to San Francisco. It is September 25th, 9 p.m. Patriots Malcolm Go podcast. Tony, Tyler, remote. That was Two Tons of Fun. Did you know that that band's name was Two Tons of Fun? It's two fat black women, and their name is Two Tons of Fun. God bless them. Hey,
does feel right.
From 1993, the hit, It's Raining Men. Yeah. So what do you make of that Patriots game last Thursday? Like maybe the worst one I've watched in, I can't even remember. I mean, sickened. I didn't think they were going to get a first down after the first drive. If we're going to be honest.
Yeah. So like the defense was bad. And the offense was bad. Like
bad.
You have like four areas of offense. You have like the offensive line,
bad.
You have the receivers and like tight ends and running backs, like the playmakers. You have the quarterback, and then you have the coaching.
Ugh.
And I don't think there is a single area that it's anything is good or promising.
No, there's not one thing I can find that I'm like excited about. There was just, I mean, granted, I'll give them a couple breaks, right? You've got a fourth string left guard playing, coming off the practice squad. I mean, you got Strange, City Sow, and then you had somebody else playing left guard week one. So then now you're down to this Michael Jordan guy. Okay. Then you've got your backup right tackle rookie playing left tackle on a short week for the first time since high school. Okay. Disaster. And David Andrews is playing extremely slow. Michael Nwenu is getting just ran by. And who was playing right guard? Fucking Layden Robinson's a rookie. I mean, there was not one, like, anybody playing well on the offensive line. They were people were lining up like fucking Usain Bolt off the blocks and literally just sprinting right at Jacoby Brissett, untouched. And I'm not even talking off of, like, a 9 technique edge. Some of them were standing right over David Andrews' face and sprinting in untouched, hitting Jacoby Brissett within seconds.
Yeah, that was bad. I mean, even it was just from the beginning, it was bad. The way Rodgers was moving down the field,
yeah.
The way they couldn't make a single third down play.
The coaching was terrible. I mean, one play that comes out in my mind is like they got him in like 3rd and 7, right? Okay, and I get it. Still, whatever. He was on the Patriots coaching staff with Belichick. The DeMarcus Covington, defensive coordinator. You're playing one of the top 5 quarterbacks to ever play. One of the top 5 most athletic, most accurate, and smartest. And all three of those, right? He can just pick you apart with his brain and his body. And he decides on 3rd and 7 to bring Kyle Duggar up and another secondary player up onto the line, not disguise a blitz at all, leave the field wide open for an easy slant right behind him. I'm like, what is he doing? They went to the line and they both blitzed in. Like, there was no disguise whatsoever. They didn't drop back. They came. Like, if you're going to do something, like, disguise the blitz at least. Like, run from the secondary or drop back. Don't fucking do exactly what you're going to do. And then, he just looked at you and was like, these idiots, and just threw right behind him instantly. Didn't even look anywhere else. First down. I mean, did they even punt? I don't remember the Jets punting. I was beside myself in the whole game.
Yeah, I'm not even sure who the punt returner is.
I think Marcus Jones might have returned a punt now that I'm thinking about it. He might have had one. But
yeah, no, they got off the field a couple times, but a lot of times it was after long drives and then
yeah.
Like a missed field goal or like a
you're right, they missed the field goal at halftime and somehow we're still in the game. I mean, what was it? 14-3? It was brutal. Did we score a touchdown? I don't remember.
No, it was 24-3.
Was it? Yeah, we didn't score a touchdown. Because at the down to the end, another coaching fuck up. He puts Drake May in. What did they say on this podcast last week? I said, no, Jacoby Brissett is the starter and he's the backup. If you're getting blown out, he still has to fucking play. That's the rules.
That's perfect.
Those are the fucking breaks, okay, of being Jacoby Brissett. Listen, we're giving you probably, I don't know how much he's getting paid, but it's got to be top 5 on the team right now, right? He's getting like probably 8, 9 million, I'm assuming, something like that. You know, you're getting paid more than Cam Newton got to play here with Belichick and a better team. And you can't tell me you're going to come out of the fucking game because you're getting hit too much. Your job is to take as many bullets as possible so Drake May doesn't have to take them. He comes in, gets immediately hit twice, fucking makes like one good pass, almost gets intercepted. I'm like, what is this teaching him? What is he learning right now? Like, they're just pinning their ears back, coming right at Drake May's chest. One guy pile-drived him when he tried to move. I mean, I get game experience and all that, but, like, the defense isn't even playing a defense at that point. They're just attacking you. They're not even fucking dropping into zones or shit. They're just sitting back playing prevent defense and fucking blitzing you, obliterating the offensive line. The offensive line has rendered the season unwatchable. If you're going to play like that again, there's no reason in like even playing Drake May this year.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of upside to this team.
No. I mean, the defense was supposed to be like the good part. And then they lost Bentley and they now can't tackle. Worth a shit. I mean, they must have missed more tackles in this game than I can remember in the last 10 seasons. Over-pursuing guys, just fucking missing them blatantly, like hitting guys in the backfield, making mistakes, Tavai power-slamming Breece Hall for no reason. Although I thought that was kind of a, I don't know, that was kind of a on the whistle call. He probably had him in the air when the whistle was blown, but still. I mean,
there's not really much left you can do, like, to bring a guy down in the NFL.
No.
Like, you can't scoop them, you can't, like, I don't really know how they want you to, like, tackle guys anymore. Like, If you, it should be anything wrong with picking someone up off the ground and slamming them.
No, I think that that should be the agreed upon way to tackle somebody. But I think they just called it, they said it was late. But I mean, because he held him up, but he could have broke out of it. And he was holding him up, and then the whistle blew and he threw him down. I mean, it was on the line. But like, if it happened to us, I'd be like, hey, that's annoying. Like, call a penalty. But it, you know, fucking Tavai. I don't know. Just making mental errors. I mean, I'm not even joking when I say, like, Bill Belichick's teams were always the best tackling teams in the league. In the last 10 years, I don't think I saw as many missed tackles I saw just in this game. Or just fucked up defensive pursuits. Like, the angles were Pop Warner-esque. You know, like, Breece Hall was catching the ball in the middle of the field on, like, a little dump-off, getting 20 yards because guys were so fucked up. They were, like, going their geometry was so, like, off.
Yeah, I don't know. This is just going to be a long, dreadful season. There's not many games. They're not going to win like a coaching game. Like they kind of already did, which is like they came into the season like in great shape. They came into the season like fast.
And Cincinnati might suck, by the way.
Yeah, but it also turns out that like the Patriots seem to, they might have like 11 plays they run. And then after two games, the other team is just like, oh, this is all you guys do. You can't do anything. So.
Possibly throw the ball. You run up the middle, and that's it. They off tackle is probably out of the question. It's like they have to trick you with like a weird counter every now and again, but it's going to be, I mean, they're going to run 75%, 25% passes. Another thing that's pissing me off in this game is like that they were like bowing down to like Twitter and fucking and like reporters. By like, why aren't you throwing to the receivers? So they were just forcing the ball to receivers when the first two weeks, the only thing that did work was running.
It's crazy, yeah. I mean, granted, like, you should get them involved and everything like that, but this team is locked in. Like, they might have the radio playing in the coach's room and just be listening.
They were like, DeMario Douglas didn't get the ball a lot this week. What's going on? And they're like, oh, we're going to force the ball to him 75 times this game. Trust me. You want to see DeMario Douglas? You're going to see him today. It's like Gerard literally. Like, I get it. You got to get Douglas the ball, but you don't have to force it to him in plays that, like, he can't make. Like, throwing him a screen on, like, 2nd and 9 with no blockers in front of him is insane. Did you see he got that screen, had a run. He ran about 75 yards to, I think, lose a yard. He ran around the field using up all his energy, dove, and then I think he was a 1 yard loss or a 1 yard gain, one of the two. It was like a, it was just a complete waste of time. I mean, I don't think KJ Osborne saw the ball. They haven't thrown it to Thornton. I mean, it was literally just Douglas. Just fire it at Douglas. I think Boutte might have caught a ball in the last drive. It's no way these guys aren't open, like, a little bit. It's just the offensive line can't block long enough for him to even. Jacoby Brissett, he looks at one read. If that guy's not open, he gets fucking smoked. That's why Hunter Henry is getting the ball so much, because it's just, he's going to be right in front of his face. First jersey he sees, and he's just going to fire it at him.
I don't know. I don't even know what to, like, is this week going to be worse? Like, could it be worse?
I mean, San Francisco's defense probably better than the Jets, and their offense is definitely better than the Jets. So, yeah, I mean,
around the same team. Yeah, it's a very similar, like, you know, good quarterback, good running game, couple receivers, and
yeah, they got a lot of injuries is the only thing. Like, Trent Williams was out today. He was sick. Like, literally, we're the team that they could be like, we don't really have to play these guys. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to play Trent Williams. They don't have to play, like, George Kittle is hurt. They don't have to play any. Like, we're literally an extra buy for a lot of teams right now. Because the defense can shut us out by themselves. Like, the defense could probably win the game for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, they beat the Bengals by scoring 16, and we went to overtime with 17 against,
something
or
like
20.
That. 17 or 20.
17 or 20, and then we scored 3. So
we're
hovering around, that's about, you know, a good 14 points a game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're okay. If you can score 2 touchdowns, you're most likely being the Patriots.
Yeah, it's just like the defense literally, I mean, I don't know how the offense hasn't turned the ball. Well, they have, but like how Jacoby Brissett hasn't turned the ball over yet. It's crazy to me. He's been hit so many times that he still hasn't fumbled or thrown an interception. But another thing that's fucking a problem is your best player, Ramondre Stevenson, has fumbled in every single game.
That's an issue.
Yeah, he's fumbled every game. He's, you know, and finally my luck ran out. I was letting it ride on the Ramondre Stevenson anytime touchdowns, and he fucked me up this week. I had, I think, 25 on him week one. He hit. Then I let it ride. I think I went to like 75. Hit. Now I went to 150 this week, and of course I lose. So it's all gone, and it's gone. It was just
that was our funding for the club too.
It was. I love this new club you want to start. I love the idea of an. You know what? All old Italian men need to be in a social club. It's kind of like a rite of passage. That's why they have all these Elks and Knights of Columbuses and the ITAMs and Saugus. So that's where everybody goes. All, they get away from their wives.
But those ones are all focused. The only thing there is drinking.
Yeah, that's all you need. What else is there to do? Sometimes they have.
Well, I was gonna say if they put, you know, you toss in a TV screen, a couch, and a PS5, and you get sure. FIFA on the couch.
The VFW,
the boys on the sticks.
VFW's got one of those fucking shuffleboard things. That's pretty sweet.
Shuffleboard. I'm thinking a nice golf simulator.
You love a golf simulator. I don't need to golf. I need to, like, I could sit there and get, you know, $1.50 drafts. That's when I'm really fucking cooking with gas. So that's what we're kicking around. I know you guys are out there in Malcolm Go land. We're just, now that the Patriots season is over again, we're just deciding we're going to start a social club. Like, kind of like The Sopranos. We're just going to have our own little social club. It's the Bada Bing with no strippers. Yeah. But it's
gonna be something for younger guys to get around.
Sounds
good. Kick
gay.
Around some ideas.
I should mention that KP did text before that, said he couldn't be on because he says, I don't understand the text, but he said, the agents finally found my CP. I don't know what the agent's finding his CP. It said something on his hard drive, the CP on his hard drive. I don't know, maybe you guys can figure that out, but they said that he says that the agent's found it. He won't be able to be on the pod today.
It was suspicious. Diddy goes down, and all of a sudden KP goes MIA.
Right after it. He had substantially more baby oil than P. Diddy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this club idea, I think it could be something, you know?
Sure. I mean, listen, you're not the first to think of it. We just need a location. We're starting our own social club. It's going to be, I don't know what it's going to be called, the Knights of the Malcolm Go podcast. When the Knights, I mean, anything, if you called the Knights, I just automatically go Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. So I don't think that you could really go with the Knights. You got to go with something else. Think of a good name. And then everyone will join. Every old Italian man will try and join because that's all they do. They want to wear the hats and fucking learn some code.
Yeah, no, it's just a nice place to go. You don't want any girls around. Girls just kind of ruin everything.
That's true.
Just the fellas hanging out, having a good time.
Everyone join. I'm telling you, if we could like just get a, you know, you get a keg of fucking Miller Lite, 175-inch TV with Red Zone, a couch. Like it'd be kind of, we're kind of like on fraternity. Like it's almost like old school, like frat. It's like frat level type thing, but
yeah, that's
a little
bit more, the vibe we're going for.
A little bit more adult, you know what I mean? You know, you got to clean up after yourselves. We can't have fucking animals.
No, there's going to be some strict rules in this place. And you know, you're going to have to submit a resume to get in. We're not just letting anyone in.
Nah, we can get. Yeah. And then as we grow, we can become more of a classier place with like a nice leather chair somewhere. With like a nice leather chair in the corner, some suede, like a nice cloth curtains, you know what I mean?
I mean, eventually we'll get into nefarious activities, sure, as anyone does. But
you have
yeah,
to, you
we'll
have
be
to.
Kind of
you got to hide your money somewhere. I mean,
we'll be like Peaky, like the Peaky Blinders bar, like something like that, something along those lines.
The Garrison, I love that. I've always wanted to buy that. There's like a like I had the money, like it's a fucking option. Like it's like I just in my head. I don't like how I just said that. Like I've always wanted to buy, like this is ever on the table. But there's a building in Saugus Center that's old as shit. And it's probably been there since probably the 1700s. It was an Eastern Bank, and now it's a fucking dance studio. But you know the one I'm talking about, right, Ty?
Yeah, the bank. Yeah.
And it's got the big fucking, it's got a window over the front that's an ironworker stained glass. It's sick. I want to buy it and create like a small, like literally like a Peaky Blinder style bar, call it the Hammer and Arrow. And I was going to write established 1629, which is the year Saugus was made. And I already have the idea for the decor. The decor would be all black and white photos of Saugus now with old-timey people in front of it. So it'd be like the Hilltop Cactus, but with old-timey people in a carriage, like in horses, buggy going by it. And then like the Kowloon as it is now, but fucking a guy with a mustache and a barbershop quartet in front of it. Just weird shit.
I mean, this is a hit already.
I know.
This could be where the club is.
That's what I'm saying. It's the greatest idea. The only thing is, I don't think they have a basement. So I don't know what you would do for, you know, drink storage and beer. But I want to have a snug. You know what a snug is. You're familiar with the bar game. And just a whiskey bar where you can go in there, get drunk with the boys. I didn't even want a TV. My wife talked me into having one TV. I want no TV, a place for conversation, I say.
Wow. You had no TV, huh?
No TV. I don't want
like a bar without
TV. I don't want any riffraff coming in. Like, I don't want this to be, I don't want 21-year-olds coming near it. It's a 45 and older place, except for me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's nice.
My friends and 45 and older. That's it. The Hammer and Arrow. You guys heard it here first. Nobody steal my idea.
This could be something.
When that place comes up for sale, I'm telling you, we can do it. We're all going to have to chip in, start an LLC. Yeah. But
this feels nice, and then we could dish out chapters. Really, all I want is to start a pyramid scheme. Like, it's not, we're not asking
not
for
hard.
A lot here. No.
Do you remember when we went? Did you go to the pyramid scheme and with our buddy Mike there that one time when we? I was like, "This is a pyramid scheme," and I keep telling everybody that. Like, it's not the first time that I've been involved with one of those like health food selling things. So I was like, "This is. I know what this is. I'm not going." He's like, "Just come. We're gonna have free food and drinks." I was like, "Okay." Did you go to that?
No.
Also, this had to be 10 years ago. And like his buddy was like fucking strong. He's like, it's going to be super casual. Don't worry. Just come in. No big deal. We're just going to give you guys a pitch. Because like the way you know how pyramid schemes work is like you have to get people to work under you for you to ever make any money. So like he brought in like all his son's friends, literally probably 25 people there. And there was another lawyer from like across the street who was like his partner. And he just came in like a bull and was like, "You guys are all going to work for us. It's going to be unbelievable." And then he's like, "And then you get two friends and they get two friends." I was like, "Yeah, this is how it works." I was like, but walking in, I had less than zero intention of doing anything. I came to like support him and like eat free pizza. And he texted me after. He's like, "Sorry, man. He really came in there. Like, I wasn't expecting that." I was like, "Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I didn't have any inclination to do any of this anyway, regardless of what happened." But yeah, I mean, those things, they work for one guy and then never work for anybody else.
Yeah, the only one I ever went to that was like a queer pyramid scheme is the timeshares. Like timeshares, everyone selling a timeshare has like six timeshares and they can't pay for them. So it seems like that if you can't pay for your timeshare, you just have to go work for them for free.
It's slave labor. It's literally, there's a whole business now where it's just getting people out of timeshares. That's, if you're fucking, I don't know who wrote these contracts for timeshares in the first place, but they must have been the greatest lawyer of all time because these people are locked in like for generations. Like the people that own timeshares now, like their kids can't get out of it. They just have to keep paying the debt on these fucking timeshares.
They have their own money. It's like, you can trade this timeshare for that timeshare, and if you take your timeshare bucks, you can pay for dinner at any Olive Garden in the country. Like, the whole thing is insane.
I like, every time I hear it, I'm like, this sounds like the worst idea. Like, a guy I work with has one. Like, a lot of people, like older people, like mid-50s to like 70s, all have a timeshare.
The boomers. The boomers
fucking hate them. They all are like, "I can't get out of it. You got to please use it." Like, they all have these points, like, and they're always in Orlando. So just like, "Hey, man, you get to go to Orlando." I got all these. My brother took them up on it, and they were like, "Yeah, go to Orlando." You went to Orlando. He's like, they just can't even use the amount of time they need to be in the timeshare. They're just getting fucked left and right. They can't get out of it.
Hey, if you want, like, instead of going to your timeshare in Orlando, we can send you to Tallahassee, and it's only going to cost you $12,000.
It's literally the same thing. But the worst place you could possibly go is like Orlando, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's on the house. Don't worry about that. Like, you can use zero timeshare bucks." But they're like, if you want to go somewhere like Atlanta, per se, like per se, or you want to head up, you know, maybe see Elvis's house in fucking Memphis. Yeah, you're gonna need 1 zillion timeshare dollars. You know, like they sell timeshare to you as like you can go to like fucking Tahiti and fucking all for the same amount. But they're like, yeah, I mean, one timeshare dollar to Orlando is like $2 billion to fucking Las Vegas. Or actually, I think Las Vegas is a cheap one too. But it's like those are the two places: Orlando and Las Vegas.
The other thing I noticed is when we were traveling in when we were in Italy,
ooh,
is
ragger.
Like American boomers are like they're the worst travelers. Like if anything doesn't go exactly how it's supposed to go, like they get upset. Like anyone else is supposed to be concerned.
Well, Americans
like, they're like freaking
are
out.
Notoriously, the worst European travelers in general because they like want everything to be American. Which I get. Like, everyone, I feel, should always bow down to me for being an American. I feel Europeans do not feel that way.
They get frustrated.
But... yeah.
Yeah, they get frustrated when, like, if someone doesn't speak English, they're frustrated. Yeah. They're like, oh, all right.
Oh, here we go.
Let me see if I can explain this to you, dumb.
Yeah. Okay,
I want
moron.
The meatballs.
We didn't like, write just, a constitution to come over here. I said, we didn't save your ass from the Nazis for me to come over here and speak Italian, okay? I came for the
then
spaghetti.
Then we start so we were out at this one port. We had to take this train back somewhere. And the cruise ships all got docked because the Mediterranean was so crazy, so they couldn't leave for a couple of days. So they all had to, like, all these, you know, boomers who were taking a cruise around the Mediterranean all got kicked off the boat, and they had to go, like, just take a train to Florence. And, you know, this old lady gets on. She has a cane. She's English. She's furious that no one's getting up and giving her a seat. And just everyone's just looking at her with disgust. And she's just like, you guys, you just don't even understand. Like, I shouldn't even be on this train. I should be on a boat right now.
I paid like, cold, hard American cash. You don't get it. She said this.
They're big, like, they're big at, like, you'll just be walking somewhere, like, in a train station, like, a busy sidewalk. And then they just decide, like, to stop.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, now I'm going to do what I need to do to figure out because I'm lost. And you just,
Americans are very lowbrow in society, I find, outside of America. I mean, there's very little class in the United States as is, but there's even less when you go to places that, like, want to be, like, have a, like, European vibes are just different. Like, you can get away with being American in Dublin, but, like, doing that in, like, parts of Italy, they're like, they want to spit in your face for most parts.
Yeah, we're not, like, cordial. Like, we don't walk in, like, anytime you walk into, like, other, they're always like, hey, how's it going? Like, you know,
nobody's happy to see an American ever. I promise you that. They're always like,
we're not happy to see Americans. We hate each other. We're sick of each other.
The only time I ever like to see an American is if I'm in a different country and somebody's from Saugus. And that has happened before. So, like, one time I was taking a dump at, it's a very famous Venezuelan steakhouse in Aruba. I was on my honeymoon. And my wife has notoriously one of the loudest laughs in the business. And I'm taking a dump all by myself in the stall, a Reuben stall. And I just hear my wife laughing. I'm like, what is she doing making friends out there? Like, don't talk to the locals. What's the matter with you? I go outside. She's sitting next to this couple, and they just were from Saugus. I was like, what the fuck, man? I came all the way down here to get away from you people. Thought I was coming down here for Caribbean class. I got to hang out with you people drinking fucking Jack Daniels.
Oh, that is good stuff.
Yeah. Now, it's noticeable when you see an American in fucking Europe and they're like just with a backpack on chugging water, you know, like lost, taking pictures of everything. It's like an Asian tourist in America, but with zero respect for their surroundings, basically. You know, when Asian people come here, they love to take photos, but they're the most polite people you've ever met. And they don't want to, like, they're very, they love, like, they want to be very, cognizant of culture, right? Where we have very little culture. They just want to be... Asians love, like, culture and making sure you're not stepping on anybody's toes, whereas Americans could not give less of a shit about anybody's culture except for American culture. And they think that travels. It's like the run game. The run game's supposed to travel. They think the American way of life is supposed to travel. It does not.
Oh, we're just, like, in an airport and you're in a different country, and the loudest person there is just an American complaint, like comparing first class cabins in different airplanes and like
you don't
why
get it.
She will fly
Lufthansa,
United.
You can fly through a fucking stupid, you'll have like a fucking panhandle accent. Lufthansa, you can lay flat, but on Delta, an American airline, they'll blow you too. No, that's not how it works.
And here's the thing, it's like the knee room on, yeah, the knee room on this plane isn't as good as it used to be. So we try to avoid that at all. And like, I'm just sitting in like the line next to, like talking to Nina, just like this fucking dumb bitch. Like she won't shut the fuck up. She's embarrassing us. Like,
it's on speaker
and I just assumed
phone.
That everyone in front of us, around us, was all, I just thought they're all German. And then like, I'm like, I can't stand this dumb bitch. She's embarrassing to the country. She's just an awful person. And then after like 5 minutes, the guy in front of us turns around. He's Canadian. I was like, oh, so you just heard me trashing her the whole
time. and he fucking agreed with you too. He's like, dude, don't think you're getting, he looked at you and said, don't think you're getting off easy. You're fucking part of this shit. Yes. And they're like, we're guilty by association because we look fucking American, but I'm not. It's what's the worst. That's the worst part about being Canadian is that they're almost American and get confused for being American. So like, I remember like when I was in college and like 9/11 had popped off and shit and all that stuff. Like, and I don't know, it was just wild, but whatever. Everyone was going to like, going abroad and shit. And like, and they were saying, you know, when you're a junior going abroad, hey, listen, yeah, they're probably looking to kill Americans like in other countries. So maybe you should put a Canadian flag on your backpack when you're walking around. And I was like, first of all, that's gay. I was like, I'm not doing, I didn't do go abroad, but I was like, I told my friends, I was like, you put a Canadian flag on your thing, don't even come home. You don't even deserve it. If you're going to die,
yeah,
die an American.
About.
You know what I mean? God damn it.
No, I wasn't. You're not wearing a Canadian flag in a different country. And,
fuck that. Just to protect.
And being.
I'm not stealing Canadian valor because I don't want to get killed by a fucking terrorist.
Canada stinks anyways, like, they have this giant country, and it's like 98% of the population lives within a mile of the U.S. border. They're just like trying to be our friends, and we're like, we don't want to hang out with you guys. You guys stink.
Too fucking cold up here. Although I will say that I've been trying to get a crew for one of my bucket list things would be see the Bruins at Montreal. And I've been trying to go for 25 years, and I just haven't done it. This year they're playing in April, which seems like it's not too bad. They only play in Montreal one game. I feel like they would play like 7 games a year in Montreal growing up. Now they only play once in Montreal.
They must have switched that. That must be new.
Yeah, they play twice in Boston and once in Montreal. It doesn't make any sense. I feel like I know that the divisions are much bigger now, but they used to be like 5 teams, and I feel like they played in Montreal at least 4 or 5 times. It's crazy. This is anarchy. Anyway, Patriots.
This is what you get. This is what you get.
This is exactly. This is a Patriots podcast, by the way. There's just nothing to talk about of redeeming quality. So we have to go on and talk about shitty Americans. And this is what, you know what? Ever since the greatest generation of World War II, the country has gone downhill so fast to the point where, you know, back in probably 1950s, if you were an American and went anywhere, you were probably celebrated like a fucking god. You know what I mean? Everyone loved Americans then. Now they hate us, and I get it. I honestly get it.
I you know what? You know what I'm really sick of though? I hate when like the older generation like rips on us, like the younger, anyone who's like younger. They're like, you know, kids, they're soft, kids this, kids that. Like, what do you guys do? It's like, we're not even in charge of any of this stuff. You guys have been in charge of this for like the past like 25 years, and what have you done? You ruined the country.
The fucking there hasn't been anybody my age in charge of anything yet. I'm 38.
That's my whole point.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to the point where we can try to make like a dent. And all they complain is about how soft we are and how we're ruining the country.
The people that are still the president are older than my dad. They're still like my grandparents' age. They're still in their 80s. Their fucking presidents are still 80. I mean, Trump was in his late 70s. Biden's infinity. I don't even know how old he is. And then maybe you get a young lady or Trump again. I don't even know how. I mean, she in her 60s? She's got to be 60. Anyway.
Kamala?
Yeah.
I actually have zero clue. She could be
Carmella.
You could tell me she's like 42, and I'd be like, I guess. I don't know.
Whatever.
I have zero clue. I haven't paid attention at all.
Who knows?
But no, I just, that's another thing that really bugs me about the older generation is they try to pawn it off on us. Like, we've been running everything for so long.
I don't think I really want to talk to anybody that wasn't, like, if you weren't in Vietnam, I'm like, don't tell me what to do. That's the last person that can tell me what to do. Someone that was in Nam.
Yeah, it is fun, like, when you, like, at what age do you realize, like, adults are dumb? Like, because your whole childhood, you grow up and you're like, you just grow up thinking, like, all right, you just have to listen to all the adults. And then all of a sudden you'll have just like that one uncle that you're like 10 years old and you're like, oh, this guy's not very smart.
Yeah. There was somebody quoted it the other day and I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody smart. And he was like, my whole life changed when I read this quote and how true it was. It was like, just realize that nobody else knows what the fuck they're doing either. Like, it was literally that.
Yeah.
It was because it's probably the most true thing that's ever happened. Everyone's just literally faking it till they make it. I mean, I know I've been doing that at work for 20 years and I've significantly fooled a lot of people. I've been called an expert at things before and I could not know. I probably know less than 1% of what my business is. Less than one.
That is actually the only reason you try to learn anything is just to prove that someone else doesn't know it.
Yeah.
No one's trying to better themselves. Prove that other people are dumber.
I was always, so my whole life, terrible, like SAT type, those type standardized test taker. I couldn't tell you, things that you're supposed to know over the last 4 years, which is like not really easy to study. You know what I mean? I know they give you like SAT prep books and shit, but like you have to know stuff from algebra, geometry, and remember all that shit. I'm terrible at tests like that. But give me a test on Friday and tell me what it is on Monday. I'll fucking get an A+ on it every single time. So that's what I do at work. I just, if I have a meeting, I'll fucking study for a day and I'll come in there fucking balls on fire, remember everything. But like 3 weeks later, I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what it was about. I don't remember what we talked about or even any facts. Like if they were like, you know, people will remember what I said, but I won't. Like, you know, you remember when you told us we had to do this, this, and this, and that's, and this is why? Like, yeah, definitely, I remember that.
Do you ever like? I mean, you submit bids. Do you ever submit a bid and then someone asks you like, "Hey, so like, what's in that?" And you're like, "Doesn't matter. I mean, it could be anything."
I don't. Why don't you ask me what you think's in it? Why don't you ask what you think's in it, and I'll tell you. Yeah, I'm good at that. So I like to when I submit a bid for a project. Sometimes I'll just throw a little fluff number in there and say, "Yeah." Hey, if I get it, good on me. If not, then they'll ask if I have it, and I'll say yes, and maybe it will give me the upper hand. But I don't know. What a fucking disaster of a podcast year this is going to be, watching this team. It's sickening to me that the defense got so bad. And, you know, without Bentley, who was put on IR today, so now you've got no linebackers. You've got... I mean, like, I'm telling you, if you lose a secondary player, you're fucking toast. Because the only guy playing any good is Duggar. I mean, the secondary is the only thing playing good, and Keon White, I guess. But he's, like, doing as best he can with, you know, while being double-teamed, and nobody else can do shit.
Moopy, the Moops. I mean... He could maybe solve some issues. Like, he's going to be fast. He's going to be able to play. Like,
they also have that guy from the Browns.
Who? He's
supposed to come back. What's his name? Taki Taki. He was like the... Which is a terrible, by the way, the terrible move they made. They signed everybody, and the fucking guy was starting to get good. He was good, and now he's like Mack Wilson is what I'm talking about. Like, he was good enough.
Oh, yeah, that was my guy.
And they just let him go, like, for nothing. They signed people to fucking long extensions, and... You know, Mack Wilson was pretty fucking good, and then now he's playing really good in fucking Arizona, and they replaced him with some guy from Cleveland that's, like, kind of the same position, but I don't know. I think Elliott Wolf has a crush on him. He's, like, drafted him and all this shit, so I think he's just trying to, show that he knows what he's doing. Of course, he hasn't played yet.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not... Like you said, there's not really much... I mean, Christian Gonzalez, I guess, is good, but, like... There's no turnovers on the defense. Like, we're not making plays. Jennings has been solid.
Yeah, Jennings plays his position well, but he's an edge setter. He's not rushing the quarterback. Keon White is your only dangerous, like...
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Lineman, front seven player, really. He's your only dangerous front seven player. Dietrich Wise is, like, fundamentally sound and will be in his area. And then fucking Anthony Jennings has no pass rush upside. He's just an edge. And then everybody, you know, your linebackers are weak right now and your secondary is good, but like they have so much time to throw. It's impossible for the secondary to be great. You know what I mean? I mean, even Christian Gonzalez he gave up like 30 yards. We still give up a touchdown and he's like fucking on the number one receiver all game, but he's doing what he can do.
I mean, that was just a great ball. Like, yeah, Gonzalez had a good position and Rodgers just, he fired that one in there, only place it could be. The only thing, I guess I will say that the Keon White after the game, like, just angry at himself for how he played, like, that gets you excited.
Yeah, he was tackling fucking, he was running downfield at tackling our, like, that guy, he is a throwback Patriot. Like, he is a perfect Belichick player. Like, he's literally, like, the Willie McGinnis type, the fucking, just comes, fucking
Harrison,
hard hat on, wants to hurt people, doesn't care about what people think of him, just wants to go out there and win. Like, doesn't really care about stats, just wants to win and fucking destroy people. And
he
never happy. I love him.
He was like, if Belichick coached him for like another 5 years, like he would have had potentially be like an all timer.
Like, yeah, he's got like he's not as fast. He reminds me of Trey Flowers, just better than Trey Flowers. Like, he's big, solid, can move up and down the line, but he's a little bit faster, and he's probably stronger. And Trey Flowers was as strong as an ox. But, like, I don't know. I just think Keon White, like, he played tight end in college up until, like, last year. So, like, his last season, I think he switched to D-end at Georgia Tech and became a second-round pick. So, like, if he played 2 years at Georgia Tech at D-end or 2 years at anywhere else at DN, he probably would have been a top 10 pick. And he's fucking good as hell. He's just a monster. Yeah, like, you can't block him.
No, he is. Yeah, he is probably the best thing we have going right now. But I don't know.
You've got like, I mean, if you had to like start this team with 11 players, could you name 11 players to keep, like, to build your foundation? Because
yeah,
I mean, think
no,
about
I think
2000, right? Think about 2000. You probably had, I'm trying to think of your foundational pieces for, like, when Belichick first came in, your foundational pieces for your championship run, right? You thought you had Bledsoe. So Bledsoe was the guy. You had Ty Law, Brewski, Malloy, like Ted Johnson, McGinnis. Most of the guys are on defense, right? So then you had
Otis Smith.
Yeah, Otis Smith. I'm trying to think of anybody else. Like,
Was Woody there?
Who's that?
Damian Woody.
Not yet. No. Maybe he was 2000. I think he came 2001. So 2000, I think that's your seven, like, defenders or six defenders. And you had Bledsoe. And then you had Terry Glenn and Bruce Armstrong, right? And then Bruce Armstrong retires 2000. I think that might have been it. Like, and Troy Brown. Okay, Troy Brown.
Yeah, because they drafted Steve Neal. They drafted
Vinatieri.
Woody. They drafted Light. They drafted Vinatieri.
In 2000, I'm thinking you had probably 10 foundational players that they supplemented in 2001 to become like Super Bowl champions. So they had like fucking, so they had 10 guys, then they bring in, obviously Brady was on the team 2000, but he was a backup. So you didn't know you had him. Then you bring in Vrabel, you bring in Pfeiffer, you bring in, Compton, Woody, all these linemen. Then you're Antoine Smith, David Patton. So like they brought in like, yeah, Seymour's drafted. So, like, they hit on their draft picks. You know, they dumped dead weight, basically got rid of Terry Glenn. Brought Matt Light came in. Just a lot of turnover in 1 year. So that's kind of, like, what you're looking at. You got to have, like, 10 guys and then just make a ridiculous turnover in the next year and two of hitting draft picks and also bringing in quality free agents. Because you got, like, if I'm thinking guys you have right now that can help you win, you got your whole secondary, so that's a good start, right? You got fucking Gonzalez. I think, you know, Jabril Peppers, Kyle Duggar, that's three. I still think that fucking John Jones is old, but like he's also in a contract year. So he might not be a
Marcus
guy.
Jones.
Marcus Jones, I think, is, I don't know, is he foundational? He's a great punt returner. That's four. I think Bentley is five. Barmore is six. Keon White is seven. And then you probably have, you hope you got Drake May. That's eight. You hope you have Ramondre. That's nine. And then you got
Polk.
Like, maybe Polk, 10. And then your punter is 11, maybe. But like,
in a Winu, I guess. He's the only guy on the offensive line.
I'm down on a Winu right now, but like, maybe. I mean, he's your long term guy. And I think he's got to be a right guard sooner rather than later because he was getting blown by on the edge. Like, he's substantially fatter than he should be. And I don't want to say that out loud, but to be mean, but he looks substantially fatter and slower than he should be right now. Am I wrong?
Nina took a picture of me yesterday to like send to our friends because we're in this restaurant.
Did he catch you in an exhale?
And it was like the sweater was like puffed out. I didn't have a chin. I had no chin. If this put in like just my smile, everything was a disaster. So
you just kind of know what it feels like. You're coming off a European vacation. A couple cannolis, that stuff's gonna fall right off. Don't worry about that.
I just know what it feels like to be a little fatter than you cage for.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything worse than raising your arms and the bottom of your stomach just falls out of the bottom of your shirt? There's nothing worse than that. Reaching up in the top cabinet and you feel the wind gust on your belly hair. Ugh. I'm suicidal when two things happen. One, when I feel wind blow on my belly. Two, when I'm often a very clumsy stair walker going up specifically, and I'll often step on the side. I wear slippers in the house, and and I often don't tie them, and I'll trip and unexpectedly trip. So like your body is at a complete relaxed point and my belly will just flap flap up and down and like to the side, and you'll feel it, and I'm like, okay, where's the gun? That's immediately what I think. When I feel my stomach move, like, that's not something you're used to unless you were a fat kid. Like, that's not something you're used to happening growing up as, like, a average American male athlete boy. You know what I mean? Like, if you were a sports person, you didn't have just extra fat stomach that was just moved by itself. And now I'm 38 and I trip on my stairs and my stomach shifts 90 degrees and I'm thinking, it's just over for me, buddy. That's it. Ended here.
Yeah, it's when you have to, like, you don't just tie your shoes, you think about tying your shoes. Ugh. That's a bad one.
The gasp for air before you go down to tie your shoes is always the worst. So I'm hoping the size. All right, I'll let you guys in on something. I was at something the other day. I won't say what, but they wouldn't let me in because of I was wearing shorts. Like, I didn't know the dress code prior. So, like, I was like, okay, that doesn't make sense. First of all, white trash comment already. I'm wearing shorts, couldn't get in. So I had to go to Target, get pants, and then put them on in the car. And I just was like, wait a minute, I should have tried these on before. I got my size and just fucking hoped and prayed that they fit. Like, I know that a 34 will fit me after a few washings and be great, but a brand new spanking 34 off the rack, that's a risk, buddy, every time. And
yeah, you need to break Lord. In.
Like, I'm not tucking.
You need
in
to
on
break
brand
in
new.
Pants for.
Oh yeah.
For at least a month before you can confidently wear them.
Before you can call yourself a 34, just because the tag says 34 doesn't mean you're a 34. I don't know.
So where was our building block of players? We ended on a Winu.
Yeah, I had 11 guys, I think, and one of them's the punter, and one of them's Drake May that we don't know is good. And the rest of them are young guys, but you got to bring in, like, I mean, you literally have to bring in three or four linemen this next year. You don't have, you have one lineman, and that's a maybe now because you've got Fat Owenu who can't even play anymore. So you hope Layden Robinson's good. You hope fucking Cole Strange comes back and's good. You need a left tackle, like, ASAP. Your first pick. Wherever if you're picking at number one, if you're picking at number two or three, you're picking a left tackle, regardless of what happens. I don't even care who it is. Pick anybody. Somebody that's 6'6 and then can move.
I just don't understand how that didn't get filled this year.
Well, I don't know. I think that all the tackles were gone by the time that, like, the first chunk of good tackles were gone in the early second round, and like 80% of the good wide receivers. So, like, you had like two or three receivers that were like second round talents and no tackles that were second round talents. So, like, it was either take Polk or trade down, and you need good players. So they took Polk and then took Caden Wallace in the third round. And Caden Wallace, by the way, again, short week, rookie playing left tackle for the first time since high school, had maybe the worst rep I've ever seen at left tackle in this game. He took one step back. A guy ran around him to the left. He, like, bumped into the guard, fell down, didn't touch a jet, and the guy just sacked Brissett instantly. I mean, it was one of the worst reps I've seen. And I don't know. I don't even know how that gets played at a professional level. Like, the coaching staff should be embarrassed. Like, I what's this? Dumb Mayo was, like, fucking sugarcoating shit today, saying, oh, he loves how the team came to work this week. I was like, okay. Like, just fucking, it was embarrassed. That was one of the most embarrassing losses I've seen. Couldn't move the ball. Couldn't stop him. What was good about that game? There was not one redeemable quality. Nothing exciting happened. You put in Drake May before he should have even played. He gets sacked twice. He makes a couple good plays against a fucking prevent defense, like a preseason defense, and didn't even score. Nothing happened. I mean, you're putting him out there for no reason. Fucking ridiculous. I would have refused to go in if I was Drake May. I mean, why?
Yeah,
why
I don't know.
Fucking killed? For what reason am I coming in, Gerard?
What are we looking at? Like, I don't really have any better feelings going into this week.
The only thing that's good is that they had 10 days. Like, they had 3 days. Like, they had 2 days to prepare for the Jets. And they're obviously a worse team than the Jets. And Gerard Mayo on a short week's never done it. And, you know, it was the Jets' home opener. And fucking Rodgers hasn't played there since literally a year ago when he got hurt. So there's a lot of fire and shit. But, like, the Jets, you know, like, is anybody really getting up to beat the Patriots anymore? Not anymore. Like, it was a thing to, like, people would get excited for Brady and Belichick to come to, like, a primetime game. But, like, no one cares that fucking Gerard Mayo and Jacoby Brissett are coming. The uniform doesn't mean shit anymore. You know what I mean? Like, if it was, it's just, like, the scenario where you're going into Kansas City on Monday night and get your dick kicked in is not it's not like that anymore. Like, that, people aren't tailgating for 2 days to see Jacoby Brissett and Gerard Mayo's Patriots come. It's a different scenario, and nobody's like, it's just, you just, you know, they weren't excited to play you. They just beat the shit out of you because you were in the way. You know what I mean? Nobody's there. Nobody gets up for this Patriots team. So, like, the idea that, like, they're targeted or anything like that is asinine. So, like, they're literally just a team on the schedule that is a gimme win right now for everybody. And I don't know if Gerard's the guy. I know it's fucking 3 weeks in, but he's made zero impressive coaching decisions. Other than beating the Bengals by running the ball and playing defense, which, like I said at the time, they were going to keep it close because week ones are always fucked up. But the Bengals haven't won a game yet. They, you know, granted they played the Chiefs, which was tight, but then they lost to Washington, who was, you know, equally as bad as the Patriots, and they might be a little bit better than the Patriots. And Daniels looked like a fucking stud, by the way. I'm a little jealous about that. But, yeah, even their defense played better. I don't know. I don't know how good this team is. Like, if you had to pick a week where you think the real Patriots team fall, where would you go? Would it be the Cincinnati game, Seattle game, or the Jets game?
Well, I will say the short week with the coaching is that was really like a hand. You know, we didn't have a chance going into that game. Like, we were just not prepared. We were not ready. So, never. I think we're definitely better than the Jets game, but we're probably like the Bengals game, I would say. Like, the Bengals game, we shouldn't have won.
No.
But, like, we scored, like, enough points. We could run the ball a little bit, and we played, like, decent defense, and we got lucky.
Stole the game.
So, yeah, if we can get lucky a couple times and do all that, but, like, we're not going to – we're never – are we going to score 24 points this year? The defense is going to have to score it.
Once, yeah.
And we don't turn the ball over. We don't get turnovers.
They haven't turned, but we haven't turned the ball over either. That's the other thing. It's just like they're just punting. That's it. They're just punting, and like it's hard to be a great defense when the offense doesn't move at all. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's the same thing I thought. Like when the Jets, like when Brady went to Tampa Bay, I was like, their defense is terrible. And then you go there, he goes there, and they're like a fucking top two defense. You just don't realize they're good because fucking Jameis Winston was throwing 75 interceptions the year before. You know what I mean?
No, that is what I will say. Jacoby, like, not turning the ball over is easily the best part about his game.
Yeah.
There's not a good throw. There's not a good scramble. There's nothing. It's just he doesn't turn it over.
I don't know if I said this last week or if I was just saying it to you guys. He has zero, like, he gives you zero risk, but there's zero reward to Jacoby Brissett. Like, he's literally going to take the world's most boring action at all times. So whatever it is, it's like, okay, here's a 2-yard dunk or the called pass. Like he's not going to make an exciting play. It's just going to be a quick throw, 3 yards, maybe a first and 9-yard out, and then he'll miss a fucking wide open guy. And
he's like Alex Smith.
I would just put nothing near that. I mean, he's
a worse version, but like, If it's like third and 12, he's throwing like a 10-yard pass. We're getting tackled short of the chains, and that's it.
There's no deep. Although I will say quarterback as a general fucking sense, and there's been like a lot of talk on the internet about cover two, and everyone's just keeping the defenses in front of, like, the offense in front of them now. And like Mahomes is barely doing shit. He's like thrown for 200 yards twice, right? Like just over 200 yards. And like he's got like 3 touchdowns on the year and 3 interceptions. The only quarterback that's playing even remotely good is Josh Allen. And then everybody else is just average at best. And, you know, Brissett is fine. He's just not doing anything spectacular at all. Again,
I will say, like, a big part of that is, like, there's quarterbacks that aren't playing in the league that are better than quarterbacks that are playing in the league right now.
Is this a Kaepernick? Like Flacco, are you going to go in a Kaepernick stance right now?
I just think that if Flacco is better than, Richardson,
Lamar Jackson. First of all, Richardson, I watched Richardson play. He fucking is dog shit. People get enamored with this fucking athletic ability. He played at Florida. I was like, this kid sucks. I watched him play for the Gators. I was like, this guy. I mean, he's exactly Joe Milton. Like, why wasn't Joe Milton picked third overall or whatever Richardson
was?
He's literally
the same
guy.
All you have to do, like, to really understand, like, how good a player like that is, like, if you bet a college game and then you just watch the whole game and you, like, need him to make a play for you and he just doesn't the whole entire game, you're like, he can't just make a throw.
But he's stinks. A perfect, like, college quarterback, but he didn't even excel at college. Like, it'd be he won that. Like, Lamar Jackson is a college quarterback type player, but he was so fucking dominant in college. Like, he was absurdly dominant in college, and he's great in the NFL, but I've said it before, he's never going to win the Super Bowl. He's just not built for playoff football unless he, like, moves to a dome, like, and becomes the Colts quarterback and they have dome games every single and they get home field advantage. Only way he'll ever win the Super Bowl. He's never going to win an outdoor fucking winter game ever.
But Dalton is like you said, Dalton come in and have a great game. Dalton is better than like probably 5 or 6 of the starting quarterbacks in the easily. He's better than the Tennessee quarterbacks. Horrendous.
Levis sucks. I mean, there was 5 or 6 quarterbacks I watched that were dog shit. Like, Deshaun Watson's completely done. He's absolute dog shit.
Caleb Williams is not good.
Caleb
Bryce
Williams
Young
looks
is
like
not
shit.
Good.
I mean, it's his like 4th game, but he looks like shit. Richardson is a joke. He should never be. He shouldn't be in the NFL.
But we're just at this point where it's like what people want to do here too. It's like just start the rookie because it's like, well, what's the difference? We might as well just see if it works because everyone's only trying to win a Super Bowl. It's like, why don't we just try to win 11 games 1 year? Yeah. Like, why is Dak Prescott? Why do people say Dak Prescott's like a bad quarterback when he's clearly like a top 10 quarterback who can like. Do
league.
A ton of things. Yeah.
I'll say one thing. Like, Mahomes and Josh Allen and Burrow are probably the only guys that could even competed in, like, the mid-2000s with, like, the Manning, Favre, Brady, fucking Roethlisberger, like those guys, Rivers, Breeze, those guys are miles ahead of anybody, I'd say, besides Mahomes and Allen. Miles ahead of them. Like, they could never compete in that level of quarterback. Like, there's not... Like,
yeah, these, Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, I think, is the only real three right now.
Yeah, but Dak could probably compete, but he'd be, like, tier three. You know what I mean? Like, even fucking Vinny Testaverde was a better quarterback than these guys. I mean, whoever was quarterbacking the Jets in their mid-2000s, like Pennington, fucking all these guys were better quarterbacks than what they have now.
You know, it's because they try to make it, like, everything so easy. They try to, like, streamline everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, you see this, you know you're going to this. You see this, you know you're going to that. But, like, I don't know.
Tom Brady's been talking about it for, like, years. They just dumbed down NFL, the whole NFL. And, like, that now just so that rookies can play and you know, get out there as soon as possible. So, like, that's why fucking you do one read or whatever. But that's why fucking people don't know what they're doing. And the offenses around the league struggles because, you know, the defenses can do what they do, but you can't really fucking hit. And, like, the NFL's being ruined. Now, like, literally, they've been playing two safeties since the history of football. And now it's, like, nobody can beat it. It's insane. Nobody can beat it. Split safeties.
It doesn't have – there's not much of that, like, complete, like, understanding the other team. And, like, you hear some stories. Like, Burrow does it to Chase where he's like, all right, you think you can beat him right here? And it's like, all right, let's go to you no matter what. Instead of just, like, you know, it's kind of like that – partly of, like, that backyard, like, oh, you think you can beat him on this play. Instead of just like, nope, my read said do this, so I just do this over and over again. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of sucks, and we're about to be in the cycle of – If Drake May doesn't work out, we're in 10 years of bad.
Well, what worries me is that, like, you're fucking people's patience. You've got a guy like fucking Jaden Daniels, 24 years old. He played fucking college football for 6 years. Drake May played college football for 2, and he's just turned 22. So it's like a different. Like, are people going to be willing to wait 2 years to see if he's good, or like if he wins, you know, if he comes in this year, wins 2 games out of 8. And then next year he goes 5-11 or whatever fuck how many games you play now, 5-12. Are people going to be like, all right, he's a fucking bum and want to move on right after that? Because that's the problem you run into now is like people aren't willing to wait and see if he's actually good. They'll be like, okay, if he's not win, especially New England Patriots, right? Like, because they won for so long, they literally have a whole generation of fans that don't know what a losing season was about. Like, they'll just be like, okay, we were shitty for 2 years by accident. The other 25 or the other 20, we were in the AFC Championship game every year. Well, it takes a whole lot more. And, like, you got to be, like, ready fucking to build around Drake May. And you can't be able so quick to pull the trigger and say he's not the guy if you're building around him. You know what I mean? You got to be ready to fucking build the line, build the offense, all the while keeping your defense strong. You know what I mean? And having Drake May on a rookie contract is the best thing you could do. But it's hard. Hard to do, and you gotta fucking you just gotta keep like the fans and everybody at bay. And it's smart what they're doing now with like holding out to play him, but like they also have to make sure the expectations aren't out of control. Like, you can't expect him to come in and win a Super Bowl like in fucking the first 3 years. That's not normal, that's not what normal teams do. Like, Philip Rivers was a great quarterback for 20 years. He didn't make a Super Bowl, I know that, but I was going to say, he definitely made an AFC Championship game. So, I mean, he was a great quarterback, probably Hall of Fame quarterback, never made the fucking Super Bowl.
I mean, you do hear, like, these things come out, like, Darnold is playing incredible, and then you hear, like, the stats were, like, Sam Darnold's younger than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and Sam Darnold was a fucking top pick that was, like, flushed out of New York, because that's what happens in New York, and plus... The fucking Patriots just beat up on so many teams from the AFC East for so long. Like, people would just give up so fast because if you weren't beating Tom Brady, like, you know, consistently or at least once a year and, like, winning your other games, they were just like, fuck it. What's the point? You know what I mean? We can't beat Tom Brady. We can't compete for the division. Like, fuck this guy. Like, you need a new guy. But then Darnold goes to Carolina, is kind of shitty, but now he's in Minnesota and he's fucking playing good. So you got to just fucking, you know, some people just need – different pressures. Like, Darnold looks really good in Minnesota, and it's obviously a lot different than playing in New York, and it's definitely a lot different than playing New York when the Patriots are just dominating everybody. That's why I always hate that fucking that talking point where they say that the Patriots played in a shitty division for 20 years, when in reality, like, those teams were picking first and second overall for 10 years, built these good teams, but Brady and Belichick kept beating them still, so they just had to keep recycling and keep doing different cycles. It wasn't bad teams. They were good teams. They were beating other teams, but they just could never beat the Patriots when it counted. So,
yeah, I don't know. Being on the other end of it is going to be not fun.
Yeah, the Bills are better than I thought they would be. The Jets are kind of as good as I thought they'd be. And then the fucking Dolphins are probably finished now because Tua's out. But, you know, they're pretty good still. I bet you they could still beat the Patriots even with their third fucking quarterback. I don't know who they didn't even have a third quarterback ready. Like, they had a backup and that was it. You have a guy with concussions that, like, is one head hit from never playing football again. And then they had this unaccomplished backup that hadn't done shit. They should have been the ones to sign, like, Flacco or something like that and have him just sitting in the back waiting. You know what I mean? Like, they need a fucking, like, they should be calling.
Oh, Flacco throwing bombs at Tyreek Hill would be the best.
I don't know how far he can throw anymore, but, I mean, he could still get, I'm sure he can get a little loft under that sucker. Let that thing hang in the air for a while.
I mean, he almost won a playoff game last year somehow.
Did he? I don't even remember what team he was. Was he on Cleveland last year?
He's in the Browns. He made a run.
He came off the couch. I forgot about that. He came off the couch and won like six games with Cleveland.
That's where fun. Is he right now? Oh, he's on the Colts.
Back up at Indianapolis. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, did you see Mac Jones? I fucking loved it. After all the hype from the preseason, how good Mac Jones looked, he came in and got strip sacked immediately in Buffalo.
That was my all the people were like, oh, just give him a chance, someone else, let him do something else. And then the way he got stripped too, like, you don't ever see someone get stripped from the front.
No, you don't.
Like,
that was so Mac. It was Mac Jonesian to a T. Like, that's literally Mac Jones exact. Like, drop back to pass, a guy breaks through the guard, just slaps the ball out of his hand like it's a fucking Twinkie. You know what I mean?
And runs him over.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
He steps on his chest as he goes and picks up the fumble. Yeah,
he's just a bullyable person, and it just I don't know.
But he was 5 of 8 for 23 yards. You know, good completion.
You know,
percentage.
Good for him. Good for him. I mean, Trevor Lawrence looks like shit too. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with these guys. Like, Trevor Lawrence was so good in college.
Well, that's
and then now I don't know. He sucks now.
He lost Doug like nine Peterson straight might games. Be the worst. He might be the worst coach in the league.
Peterson,
he's awful.
I can't. The fucking guy beat Belichick in a 500-yard passing game by Brady in the Super Bowl. This fucking guy beat him. Insane.
Peterson's bad. Who else is bad coaches right now?
Gerard Mayo.
Oh, the Raiders are horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, Antonio Pierce, I never thought had a chance
at
being a fucking good head coach. He was just the guy that was there that they wanted to, because, and he was just like, oh, he gets the guys fired up. It's exactly a Mayo thing. Like, he's a player, ex-player, Super Bowl champion, and kind of the antithesis of what Josh McDaniels was. He was just another guy that was fucking had a different voice than McDaniels. And, you know, fucking getting guys fired up only brings you so far. You know, you can't win games off fucking bravado. He's got Jack Jones and they're getting smoked, not tackling guys late in the game. I mean,
what a line. Oh, guys out there making business decisions.
Yeah, that's cool.
We'll make some business decisions. That is a great line.
That was exactly, and I knew exactly who he was talking about. I mean, you saw Jack Jones was getting cooked by fucking a finished Adam Thielen and then not tackling at the end of the game. It was like, this fucking guy owes his entire life to fucking Antonio Pierce if it's up to me. Like, he shouldn't even be in the league. First of all, he should be in federal prison. He should be thanking fucking Bill Belichick daily on tweeting it. Like, every morning he should wake up and tweet that he loves Bill Belichick. That's what he should be doing, as far as I'm concerned. And then he should, secondly, be like, thank you, Antonio Pierce and Raiders, for even keeping me employed and making me a millionaire. Because I kind of look like shit now. He was good for a bit last year. Like, really good. Made a lot of big plays. But now he looks like shit again. So, who knows? I don't know. The Raiders just aren't good.
Sirianni stinks, too.
Yeah, he does suck. I mean, it's a race for Belichick. I mean, the Cowboys lost again. The fucking Eagles lost. Like, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, all these teams with, like, good rosters are going to have a chance at Bill Belichick this year. Like, it's literally going to be the first to fire somebody. Like, Jerry Jones is probably, it's going to be, people are going to be reaching out to Belichick before they fire the coach till they know that they have, can get Bill. You know what I mean? Like Philadelphia will, Dallas will, Jacksonville will, you know, I don't know if he'd go to Cincinnati because I bet he just wants to stay on the East Coast or go to like a power franchise like Dallas. But, you know, I really don't think he'd go anywhere except for Philadelphia and Dallas at this point, to be honest with you. But he wants to break that record and win a Super Bowl. And Dallas would make the most sense, in my opinion, because it's more his style of team. And I don't know. It'd just be cool to see him coach in Dallas, too.
Dallas would be, yeah, Dallas would be the probably the best one. Plus, Philly, like, Philly's not that far away from the country. Like, if their football team gets bad,
yeah,
like, that city is on the verge of collapsing. And if the Eagles, if the Eagles have no hope left, like, they might lose it because they were so close to winning a Super Bowl and now they're just going to be bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That the city's fucked up because, like, we're just talking with Peterson. Like, Peterson won a Super Bowl. That team never won a Super Bowl in its history. It's been starved for a Super Bowl. They win one, and then they fire him, like, 2 years later. Like, fuck you. Like, no big deal. They built him a statue and then fired him, like, a year and a half later. It's insane.
And Carson Wentz was, like, an MVP, and then he was gone. That whole, I don't understand.
They fucking
I don't get
throw
it.
People out faster than Boston does. I mean, to win a Super Bowl for a team that has been begging for one for, like, literally 70 years, like, since Super Bowls were around, and barely had a chance at them. And, like, the, you know, they went to a couple and lost them all. And then they finally win one over the greatest dynasty of all time. And then you still fucking find a way to get rid of the coach that got you there. It's fucking crazy.
Well, it wasn't even like was annoying about Philly later. Is that everyone compares Philly and Boston. They're like, oh, they're the same city. You guys are like just alike. And then you hear people from Philly and you're like, they're all retarded. They sound retarded. They can't speak. Like, they're morons. And they're like, oh, you guys are the same. It's like, no, no, we're not. We're way better than Philadelphia. Philadelphia is kind of gross. Yeah. It's like a dirty city. It smells. We're like, no, we're nothing like Philly.
Not a nice place.
Just because they have the stupid bell and we tipped over some tea, we're the same place. No.
Ben Franklin like came here and went there. I don't know. There's a little couple connections.
Yeah. Leave us out of anything to do with Philly. Like, yeah. I'd rather be lumped in with Providence than Philly.
Oh, Providence is a nightmare too. But I mean, listen, I mean, I for years Boston was like a losing town, like the 90s, right? A little bit of the 80s, but like Philadelphia's always been that town. You know, they were always the worst sports teams. Like, what did they, the last time they won, the obviously Philadelphia, the Eagles won. Then before that, the Phillies won once, like in the early 2000s. And then, but before that, I think it was like the 70s, the 76ers won. Like, they went like fucking 40 years before, like in between championships for anybody. So I don't know. They're not a great, they love their teams, but they're always just dog shit for years. And we're right on fucking path to being like that. Luckily, the Celtics are good. Maybe the Bruins will be good again. I don't know, though. I don't have high hopes for the Bruins. Bruins always find a way to choke.
Now, what are your thoughts? I mean,
I think they're going to be
cross-country
pushed aside by the San Francisco 49ers. Like, I don't think it will be a game in the second quarter. I think it's going to be something like, I think you're going to see Drake May in this game again. And I think it's going to be like something like mid-30s. Call it like 34 to 10.
That feels awful.
Yeah, but like I said, it's probably going to be, I think
it does.
It'll be like 21 to 0, like going into the second quarter.
I mean, I kind of feel like it's going to be very, this is what we said going to, about the Jets game. I think it's going to be very similar where, like, we're going to be like the same thing, maybe somewhat near the game, but we're never actually going to be like, it might be like 17 to 7. Yeah. And we're like, oh, yeah, if we just do something here, like, we could actually. And it's like, no, we're not going to do anything. We're not even going to be near. No. We're never going to be near winning this game.
Here's the thing.
We were never near winning the Jets game. We were down by like one score for half of it.
So when we played, last time we played San Francisco, they came to Foxborough. It was like the Cam Newton year. And I don't even remember who the quarterback was for San Francisco at the time. But I don't think it was Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Jimmy. But this was a Bill Belichick-coached defense. And they were utterly embarrassed. Like, they didn't stop him once. They just went up and down the field with zero resistance. And they never had an answer for him the whole game. And I just think that's what's going to be like this year. I mean, I just don't think that they can stop their type of offense. And I don't think they have the brain power to do it. And we have no, we can't run, we can't throw. So show me where we have a chance. I think it's going to be like 21-0 going into the second quarter, and they'll just lose 34. Then they'll cruise, and it'll be like 34-10, maybe 10. You know what I mean? Like, we get a late touchdown with fucking our third running back in. You know what I mean? That's what I think it's going to be. It'll be like 34-3 with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, we have trouble stopping this type of run game, too. So, yeah, this could, all the this could not be great. Shit.
They can't fucking... I mean, Brock Purdy's just going to be bootlegging. Even though they don't have Debo, they probably won't have Kittle. They might not have Trent Williams. It won't even matter. Their backups are better than our starters in a lot of places. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Not great. Not great.
Listen, follow us on Twitter if you want some more fucking sad fucking Patriots chatter. Brady Disciple. KP, once he gets out of the fucking the FBI unit, he does Malcolm Go Pod. Go on Patreon, Malcolm Go Podcast /patreon.com. Subscribe.
Look out for our new club.
Yeah, we're gonna check out the club one day.
We're gonna be accepting dues. We're gonna be accepting dues. $200 initiation fee. If you get in early, we'll let you pay up front, and we'll let you pay initiation. We'll give you an early bird special.
Pay for the whole year. What else? Yeah, I guess discord.com/MalcolmGoPodcast. There's a lot of chatter on there. And you can email me, MalcolmGoPodcast@gmail.com, and fucking talk to me about what you want to talk about on the podcast. I can do that. One day I'll fucking, I don't care. Somebody wants to zoom in, somebody I've never even met. I'll fucking zoom you in. What else are we going to do this year? All right. Anyway, go Pats, go. Ugh.
Do your job. All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
And Warner goes back to throw. And here's the blitz by Mike Brady. The back. Set to go. Snap ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good.
It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The best team in the league.
Hey! Did it.
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you. You work your ass off.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.